Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Optimistic time of the year. Who will be the next star player for your 49ers?
The San Francisco 49ers select.
It's draft night on 95.7 The Game with Sterling Bennett. Here's Mark Grandy.
Yes, it is. Welcome in. Draft night number two here on 95.7 The Game. I'm Mark Grandy. Sterling Bennett with us here as well on 95.7 The Game. Round number two of the 2025 NFL Draft is nearing its conclusion. But here on Friday night, we have rounds two and three. And the 49ers are currently scheduled to pick twice in round three. We shall see if there are any moves. They might pick once. Hell, they might pick four or three times. We will see what the 49ers end up doing, but there will be some action one way or another, whether it is a pick and a trade, two picks, a trade and three picks. We will see what the Niners do. No matter what, though, we guarantee more action from the 49ers tonight here as day number two of the NFL draft continues. And Sterling, the Niners have already made a pick earlier today in round number two, and they're sticking to what we talked about last night here on 95.7 The Game. It is all about the trenches. If you missed it last night, the 49ers had the 11th overall pick in the 2025 NFL draft. They went with Michael Williams, edge rusher, defensive end out of Georgia. They pair him with someone in the interior of the defensive line earlier today, also out of the SEC. Alfred Collins, defensive tackle out of Texas, was the 43rd overall selection in the NFL draft. That happened about an hour ago, and now, Sterling, the second round is nearing an end. First of all, welcome. It's great to have you back here on draft night, Sterling. Through two rounds, essentially, you got an edge rusher and you got a D-tackle. We could argue about who those names should have been, but I don't think we could really argue about one edge rusher and one D-tackle through the first two rounds.
Grandy, the San Francisco 49ers are cooking in the draft thus far.
You're happy.
Michael Williams, a hard edge setting run defender off the edge. He can play inside, he can play outside. You get Alfred Collins now from Texas, that run defending space eater with 34 5/8-inch arms. He's over 330 pounds. They got a monster on the interior now, finally. It feels like it's been so long since they had one of those guys. And look, it's very hard thus far to poke holes in their draft strategy. They brought back Saleh. They're fixing the defensive line. You can nitpick here or there. Obviously, some players have gone from pick 11 to 43 you may have liked in between, but I think every Niner fan should be on board saying this Niners defense is going to look a lot better in 2025.
Okay, I like it. Yeah, I mean, you've got, and I think what's interesting about even the first round pick in Michael Williams last night, Sterling, was I know we like edge rusher, pass rusher, get to the quarterback, sacks, all of that. Definitely is not yet like the most polished pass rusher, but John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan said last night they think that Michael Williams, the best edge setter, not edge rusher, but edge setter in college football. So, and I know something that you said, it feels like the Niners are preparing to maybe play Mykael Williams at times on the inside, perhaps similar to what they did with Eric Armstead. I know eventually Armstead had a full and total move to the inside, but even when he was playing on the outside, they at times would play him on the inside. So Mykael Williams, as far as edge guys go, Sterling, one of the better guys in this draft against the run, and now you get a true run stopper in Alfred Collins. We're talking a lot about the trenches specifically, or more generally, but when we dive specifically into the kind of players they're targeting in the trenches, Sterling, it does feel like they are putting an emphasis on, all right, goal number one is stop the run. We're going to hope that we can get to the quarterback. We're going to hope that Nick Bosa can do that. We're going to hope that we get help from elsewhere. And we're going to hope that, you know, this defensive staff, led now by Robert Saleh again, can teach these guys to get to the quarterback. But it does seem like plan one, which it should be, is stop the run and try to make opposing offenses as one-dimensional as possible.
It seems like the San Francisco 49ers, a la J-Lo in 1999, they've had enough of the rushing attack going against them and just bashing them every single Sunday. You saw so many times last year, late in games, the defense couldn't get off the field. Or early in games, they were getting gashed and the offense had to find their way back into football games. And ultimately, this run defense needed to have a makeover. And this goes back not just last year, but 2 years ago. San Francisco has yet to find a solid run-defending edge rusher, but also on the interior. Yeah, you have guys like Evan Anderson and Kalia Davis and Jordan Elliott, but you don't really love all of those players or any of them, but you really love what Alfred Collins brings to the defensive line room. Yes, a proven player, again, going back to the winning culture that Mykael Williams brings from Georgia, Texas, a very winning culture out there with Sarkisian and company, but only 23 years old, played 65 games the last 5 years, so you talk about, you know, having a player that's durable, has gotten it done, has won plenty of football games, and again, at Texas last year, an 85 run defense grade per PFF. He's a space eater. Once again, like Mykael Williams, hoping to free up space for Nick Bosa on the opposite end.
Well, what's interesting is the Niners aren't just, I mean, they aren't adding to the last year's group because they just essentially got rid of almost everybody that was starting on that defensive line, really, other than Nick Bosa. And I think it went kind of away the way that it went with the Niners last week or last year. And we do have an interesting pick that I'm going to get to in just a second, Sterling, because I know you have thoughts. But the way that the Niners defense worked last year was, even on the interior, they were guys that were more so focused on rushing the passer as opposed to stopping the run. And the Niners' run defense was as bad as it has been in a really, really, really long time. And if you're looking at maybe one area, one facet of this team to point to their 6-11 record, it might be the run defense. So it makes a lot of sense that the focus at this point is the run defense, even if you are drafting from the edge position, which is the case for Mykael Williams. Then you get in the interior today, early in the second round with Alfred Collins, defensive end, defensive tackle, both out of the SEC, one from Georgia, one from Texas. And now you're gearing up for a couple of picks in the third round. We just got pick number 59 overall, Sterling. The Baltimore Ravens, they go with a guy who many thought was maybe one of the best edge rushers in this draft. Some off-the-field concerns and questions. It goes Mike Green, the edge rusher to the Baltimore Ravens. Sterling, you know a ton about this guy. You brought him up last night as potentially a guy that could have gone like in the top 10. That's how talented this guy is out of Marshall. But he falls, and ultimately it's the Baltimore Ravens that are the beneficiaries. Maybe they take a bit of a chance with those off-the-field concerns. But he goes 59 overall to the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, Mike Green is a tremendous talent, right? At Marshall last year, a 91.6 pass rushing grade, a 90.2 run defense grade, 67 pressures, 17 sacks, a 21% pass rush win rate.
That's pretty good.
He's a freak athlete. He's a guy that at the Senior Bowl was just pushing everybody around. I think he practiced for one day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Tired of losing power? Feeling powerless? Call Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, Electric today for a free estimate on a whole home standby generator. Never be without power again. Fully installed systems starting at just $99 a month. Power your sump pump, your fridge, your freezer, your garage doors, your heating and cooling so your home stays safe and comfortable. Four Seasons is the largest and most award-winning Generac dealer in Illinois.
For the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Then said, deuces, I don't need to be here anymore. And that tells you a lot as to the type of player he is. However, there's a lot of questions as to what kind of person he may be. A couple of assaults have come up that may or may not be true, their allegations. And obviously, you take those things very seriously. He was kind of quietly kicked out of Virginia, moved to Marshall, but nothing came from it. So there was some, you know, what's actually happening? There is kind of some fog of war of like, we don't really know what's actually going on with Mike Green. And so the NFL spoke on two players last night in very different degrees. Shedeur Sanders falls based on talent. Mike Green falls based on the personal traits that he has off the field. And obviously, I'm not comparing Shedeur off the field to Mike Green, but you're seeing what the NFL thinks of those two players of Mike Green, for all the talent he possesses, is not worth the risk in the first or second round. And you see the Ravens, who I think, for a player that I'm sure in his own right may say he's made some mistakes, you got John Harbaugh now, who's one of the best head coaches, been around for a long time. And I think if there is a coach you want to have a player like Mike Green go to, it is a player or a coach like John Harbaugh, who has his head, you know, screwed on right. The AFC North usually can deal with the character concerns of Mike Tomlin as well. So I think it's a good spot for him, but you're hoping that whatever past he may have is left behind him and they can find some answers down the road.
Yeah. So Mike Green, 59th overall, towards the end of the second round, the edge rusher out of Marshall goes to Baltimore. It was a name that I know a lot of Niner fans were throwing around once he was still on the board at 43 overall. Based on everything you just laid out in terms of the off-the-field concerns, I think that almost just entirely takes him off the Niners board. Doesn't matter maybe at all where in the draft he falls to. Niners just do not mess around with that kind of stuff. Once they got burned, their first draft, with Reuben Foster out of Alabama, I don't think they've really ever wanted to do anything similar to that again. So Mike Green, he's off the board now. The Niners are approaching being back on the clock. We've got only four picks left in the second round. Make it three after Trey Amos, a corner from Ole Miss, just goes to the Washington Commanders. Right before that, 60th overall pick, the Denver Broncos picked R.J. Harvey, a running back out of UCF. With those two picks, we've got three picks left here in the second round, and then the Niners will be on the clock with the 11th pick in the third round, which will be the 75th overall selection. The Niners do have another pick later on in the third round, a special compensatory pick. We'll see if they make both of those picks, if they trade one and move up further earlier into the third round, or maybe one of the final picks here of the second round. We will see. We'll, of course, keep you updated. I did want to read something for you, Sterling. This is courtesy of The Beast, which is via The Athletic. Great job putting this together by Dane Brugler. I can't even imagine how long this takes. It is like literally like 500 pages long, this entire draft profile. Let me read this snippet on the newest 49er, Alfred Collins, defensive tackle out of Texas. Quote, a coordinated big man, Collins plays with natural power and does a great job as a two-gapper, stacking, peaking, and grounding ball carriers between the tackles. His hands are more heavy than disciplined, and he struggles to root himself versus doubles because of his tall pads. Overall, Collins is still learning how to maximize his size and talent, but he took a sizable jump this past season and shows the physical traits to be a disruptive force, especially against the run. He will provide immediate depth as a rookie, and his snap count should increase with experience. That is the quick summation there from Dane Brugler of The Athletic via The Beast about the newest 49er, Alfred Collins, the defensive tackle. One thing that stands out to me, Sterling, is, quote, he will provide immediate depth as a rookie. He might not be a depth piece for the 49ers. They might be looking at him to start, or at least he's going to have the opportunity to win a starting job in camp.
Yeah, you know, I really wouldn't be shocked with how polarizing this draft class is, that San Francisco didn't have a first-round grade on him. We don't know exactly how many players they had in, what, 23 first-round grades this year. Obviously, a lot of positions they didn't need. They weren't grading Shedeur Sanders, I'm sure. So I would not be shocked. And to not push back on Dane Brugler, because he's awesome and he's great, and the beast is aptly named because he's a beast himself at scouting. He is right, though, that Collins certainly has some pad-level concerns where he plays too high. When you are 6'6 on the interior, you get smaller guards that can get to your chest and push you around. But he's an extremely strong player, and I think this goes for Micah Williams as well. San Francisco is kind of banking on their best football being ahead of them, not behind them, and that matters when you have Saleh and Chris Kocerek in the building, who I think are, if not the best, one of the best tandems of defensive coaches in football. We saw what they did with Eric Armstead and DeForest Buckner, getting those guys to be, you know, Pro Bowl, all pro caliber talents, and I think that, well, not in year one, and I'm not going to put that pressure on those guys, but Alfred Collins certainly has a run stuffer written all over him if he can fix the pad level. But if he can also fix the pad level, then you talk about maybe an adequate pass rusher as well. I don't think he's someone you have out there on third downs, third and longs. San Francisco desperately needs to find that player still in this draft. So I'm hoping either on, you know, pick 75 or pick 100, or maybe in round 5 or 4, they can find that player. But Alfred Collins, I think, is going to have to play on first and second down immediately for them this year, knowing it's Jordan Elliott and Evan Anderson and Kalia Davis, who frankly are not very good for this team.
Yeah. So a lot is going to be asked of Alfred Collins immediately. He's going to be 24 in October. He was a fifth-year senior out of Texas, 332 pounds. He's 6'5" plus. So he's a big dude that you just throw there in the middle of the defensive line. And one thing that stands out to me, Sterling, looking at a little bit of tape and just looking just at the numbers and the statistics that he did put up, where he took a really big jump this year. I think this is overall maybe awareness. 7 passes defense. This is a guy that you put in the middle of a defensive line, and he's got a good awareness of, you know, when the quarterback is, you know, gearing up to throw the football. He can get his big paws up there and knock it down. He's got a really long wingspan. He's got big hands. He can disrupt the passing game in that way. He had an amazing interception I saw early in his career in 2020. He's around the ball a lot, only 5.5 tackles for loss, just the 1 sack. He's not like a pass rusher from the defensive tackle spot. He is a guy that's going to ideally eat up a couple of blockers, free up Fred Warner, allow Fred Warner and whoever is playing linebacker alongside Fred Warner to get in on the tackles and to stop the run game. Because so much of what D-tackles do, Sterling, and really good D-tackles, we point to tackles, we point to tackles for loss, we point to sacks. But it's just, do you take on 2 guys consistently, and can you keep a clean lane for your all-pro linebacker to cut through the offensive and defensive lines, meet the ball carrier in the backfield, and wrap him up? If your linebacker is consistently being touched, whether it is a full-on block or just, you know, a little shove to the side, it makes it so much more difficult on Fred Warner or any linebacker. And I think there was this conversation this past year. You and I had it all the time on overtime after games. Is Fred applying up to his standard? Is he having as good of a season as normal? And he was dealing with that ankle injury that he suffered early in the year against the Patriots. That might have been part of it. But so much about Fred and maybe not looking like the all-pro that we know him to be, it's because the D-tackles up front weren't doing as good of a job as the Niners have had in the past. If your D-tackle is only taking on one blocker and one of the guards can or the center can get to the second level and put a body on Fred Warner, of course Fred's not going to be as successful taking down a ball carrier or getting out in coverage or whatever the case is. So the goal for Alfred Collins shouldn't be, you know, I'm going to get X amount of TFLs and sacks. Like, of course, you want all of that, but it's just be a big body, be a force, eat up blocks, and make life easier on Fred Warner. That should be his goal.
Well, and on top of that, both the guys San Francisco has drafted so far are powerful presences on the defensive line, where in previous years it kind of felt like Leonard Floyd, D. Ford, you know, you had your Arden Keys, Ebukam, a lot of those guys really weren't your powerhouses. They were good in their own way, in their own right, but San Francisco too often last year was bullied on the defensive line. And I think you are seeing San Francisco trying to turn that tide back in their favor where, again, the Rams, the Eagles, if you can bully the opposing offense, you have a pretty good chance to win. And I think San Francisco views Alfred Collins and Micah Williams as two people they believe at least on early down plays, can bully some people on the interior and on the edge and hopefully wreak some havoc on the quarterback, because if you collapse pockets, you win football games usually. Now, mobile quarterbacks are running rampant in the NFL, but again, some of those guys don't have great pocket presence. You get pressure on them, your chances of winning go higher and higher and higher. You can get takeaways, you can get sacks, you can get fumbles, and look, we have seen the identity of San Francisco shift. It was defense heavy, then it was kind of a mixture, then last draft it was more of the offensive stuff, but this year it is all defense in a good way for San Francisco. As the Chiefs get a player that San Francisco happened to love,
tell me about
on
him.
Their top 30 visit, Omar Norman Lott. So Casey, also having a great draft, unfortunately, today on day two.
Omar Norman Lott, defensive tackle out of Tennessee, is the pick for the Kansas City Chiefs. That's the second-to-last pick of the second round, so we're nearing the very, very, very end of the second round of the draft. Round three still to come tonight. Round two took a little more than a couple of hours, so I would expect something similar here for round three. We're with you all the way until 10 o'clock, so we will get the full result here of round three. We're expecting 2 Niner picks. They are scheduled to make 2 more picks. We could see a trade. Looks like very unlikely a trade back to the end of the second round, but we could see maybe the Niners consolidate a couple of picks. Maybe they move up to even earlier in the third. Maybe they take a couple of their later picks and the second, third round pick they have here and get a couple of picks in the top half of the third round. We shall see. The Niners, though, are about 12 picks away from making their selection here early in the third round. Right before Omar Norman Lott, the defensive tackle from Tennessee, another defensive tackle went, Shamar Turner out of Texas A&M. I'm just circling like every D-tackle, every edge right now, Sterling, because even with a couple of defensive line picks, one edge and one D-tackle, there is still a lot of need for that for the 49ers. We might see the Niners branch out to a different position group coming up here in the third round, and I would not be surprised. But considering the depth in this defensive tackle group, we might see more. But we're almost through the second round so far, Sterling. I know there was a handful of names that came off the board before the Niners picked that probably frustrated you. I know you're happy with Alfred Collins, but in a perfect world, what were you hoping for in the second round for the 49ers?
You know, it's funny enough, the one player I wanted instead of Alfred Collins is still there. Darius Alexander, defensive tackle from Toledo. He is more of a complete player on the interior. He can rush the passer. He can eat space. And he kind of fits that, you know, the lengthy defensive lineman they've been going for in Williams and Collins. So fingers crossed, the guy that I want is still on the board, so you never know what San Francisco could do. He was in for a top 30 visit, but nothing really has shocked me. I'm pretty pleased with who they got in Alfred Collins. You know, obviously, you like some players like Jaden Higgins, but San Francisco, the need for a receiver really isn't there for them that early. So again, I know we oftentimes get greedy or you know, jealous of what the opposing teams do, but I think fans, and including myself, should be pretty pleased at what happened so far throughout two picks for San Francisco in this year's draft.
I mean, first pick of the second round was Carson Sweshinger, linebacker out of UCLA. I know I'd seen him mocked a couple of times to the Niners. The easy comp is, well, you lose Dre Greenlaw, get another linebacker in there, and Carson Sweshinger out of UCLA, one of the more highly rated linebackers. He goes to the Browns, first pick of round two. I know you were, you're going to have to help me out with the pronunciation of the last name. The offensive lineman from Arizona went to the Dolphins early in the second round. I know you were high on him, and the Niners could certainly use the offensive line help. We talked about that last night. We will talk about it more tonight, I'm sure. Maybe we see the Niners pick an offensive lineman here in the third round. But you're right. I mean, Alfred Collins, considering who was on the board and considering what they need, pretty darn good pick. But it would have been interesting if a couple of these other guys that the Niners seriously could have used some help in those positions fell, it might have made for a more difficult decision. But I don't think anybody's complaining about a defensive tackle and a big one at that, who you hope to really shore up the run game.
Yeah, I think maybe if you're of the group that you want to get an offensive tackle or a guard, I think Jonas Savannah, the guy you're referring to, went to the Dolphins. He's a great player. He was going to be probably this team's left guard in year one had he been drafted by San Francisco and played right tackle next year once Colton McKivitz is a free agent. So that's a big miss, but again, a guy goes 37. The odds to get him are pretty low when you're picking at 43. And I think there's other players there. Maybe, you know, JT Tuimoloa, Ohio State edge rusher, but you already got Michael Williams, so is it redundant? Not similar players, but the floor is higher for a player like Tuimoloa, where the ceiling isn't as high. Ariante Ursary goes to the Texans. They get their tackle. Again, one guy San Francisco liked during their top 30 visits. So there's some hemming and hawing you can do about which prospect you like, but overall, again, a pretty good day two thus far, and I'm hoping in the next 10 picks or so it gets even better for San Francisco.
Yeah, we'll see. The second round is officially over. The Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles just made their pick, 64th overall, to close out round number two. They go with Andrew Mukuba, a safety out of Texas. Oh. That closes the door on round two, and that means the 49ers are nearing being on the clock. They have the 11th overall selection in round three, the 75th overall selection in the 2025 NFL Draft. We will talk more about the plan here in round three and what the stage is setting for the 49ers the rest of the weekend in the NFL Draft. All right, that's Sterling Bennett. I'm Mark Randy. Time for a break here on Draft Night. Draft Night number two. We got time for your calls, your texts, your YouTube chats, everything. Hit us up, 888-957-9570. And on YouTube, youtube.com/957thegame. We got plenty more to get into. Sterling and I are with you until 10 o'clock, reacting to everything Niners and the NFL Draft. We're back with more next on 95.7 The Game. Sterling Bennett with me. I'm Mark Grandy here. It's Draft Night on 95.7 The Game as the third round is getting going here. From Green Bay, Wisconsin, as we inch towards the Niners pick, 75th overall, 11th pick in this third round. Sterling, a guy you threw out as a potential pick in the second round, who the Niners did not take, and then who lasted for the entirety of the rest of the second round. You had to say his name, and then he's the very next pick. The New York Giants, they begin round number three by picking Darius Alexander, defensive tackle out of Toledo. It would have been amazing if he had made it all the way back around to the 49ers once again, but that was just a pipe dream, a classic case of not expecting it to happen. Then you start getting some hope, and then it happens and he doesn't get to you as expected, and then suddenly you feel really disappointed. But Darius Alexander does not quite make it. That's the Giants pick. The Chiefs had made a pick. The Browns are currently on the clock, third pick of the third round. We are inching closer to another 49ers pick. But Sterling, that Darius Alexander pipe dream was just that, a pipe dream.
My heart is broken, Mark. I can't function. The show's over. I can't do this. But no, I mean, look, the Giants were a team that they walked into this draft knowing they were probably going to get Abdul Carter. You have Carter, you have Dexter Lawrence, you have Brian Burns. Could they still trade Kayvon Thibodeau? That feels like it's dead now as well. But now you get a space heater on the interior next to Dexter Lawrence, and you get Brian Daboll, a future quarterback, and you give him two really good defensive linemen and this draft class's best edge rusher. So they have a tough task playing Dak Prescott and Jalen Hurts and Jaden Daniels. Yeah. You know, two times a year, so they have their hands full, but they are doing what they can to hopefully get out of the cellar of the NFC East, although I still think they're a pretty bad team next year, but that's just me.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. So the Cleveland Browns currently on the clock, third pick in the third round. Niners have the 11th pick in the third round. We'll, of course, keep you updated as the draft moves along. I do want to get to a couple of questions that I see popping up on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But I do want to spend just a second here, Sterling, on Shedeur Sanders. I know that we talked about him a little bit last night. We're now through two rounds entirely, and he has not yet been picked. I know you and I are not big believers just in his on-field abilities. There was, you know, the concerns of, wow, he had one of the most terrible interviews that I've ever been a part of. One anonymous NFL executive put out there, and that was in the lead up to the NFL draft. Regardless of how you feel about Shedeur Sanders, one as a person, and or I guess most importantly as a player, and then as a person, put that aside. I'm just a little surprised, given all of the quarterback hungry and needy teams, that we haven't seen him drafted. It's not like there hasn't been instances in the past where a quarterback that we all think is not very good goes in the top 10, because that's just what happens in the NFL draft. And Shedeur Sanders is somehow still on the clock, and we are approaching pick number 67 right now. In fact, we just got pick 67. It is not Shedeur Sanders. It is Harold Fannin Jr., a tight end out of Bowling Green, who I'm sure Sterling wanted to be a 49er as well. But still, Sterling, no Shedeur Sanders, 67 picks in.
You know, the Shedeur conversation, it's really interesting because I think the media really is one of the key factors into why this thing got so overblown. Yes, I think Shedeur should have been picked picked at this point. We're at pick 67. He's the third best quarterback in this year's class. Yeah. When it comes to upside and it comes to, you know, Shedeur is going to be a good quarterback at the NFL level. It may take some time to get there, but you know, his skill set certainly translates. But I do think the media, they did this. Like, the national media did this, whether it is, you know, bigger networks, national media, it was like they could not take his name out of their mouth. Obviously, clicks and ratings certainly sell, and people, the fans, are infatuated with Deion Sanders, primetime, Shedeur, and what Colorado did at the collegiate level. It was really great stuff, and all credit goes to what they did out there, but I think you have to look at it from a logical standpoint, though. The Titans were going to get Cam Ward. That was a given. Are the Saints really in a position to put Shedeur Sanders in at quarterback? No. You take a 26-year-old quarterback in state, it may or may not be good. They're eyeing next year's draft class with a new head coach and a new GM. The Giants trade up for a higher upside quarterback in Jackson Dart, where they didn't even believe in him at pick number two or number three. So it's not as if the NFL is telling Shedeur he's not a good player. It's just that in a defensive-heavy class where it's a backup quarterback probably in year one that's going to come with a ton of baggage with his father and the limelight, and most teams don't want that, especially if you're rebuilding. Most teams don't want distractions with a new head coach, a new regime, while you're trying to make a roster built for a young quarterback. So I'm shocked he's fallen this far, but I'm not shocked he fell out of the first round whatsoever.
Yeah, I'm with you. Latest pick, 68 overall, fourth pick of the third round, the Las Vegas Raiders. They go cornerback Darian Porter out of Iowa State. That's the latest pick in the third round as we are nearing the 49ers. Up next is New England. Then you've got Jacksonville, New Orleans, Buffalo, the Jets, and Denver before the 49ers pick, 11th pick of this third round, 75th pick overall. Okay, I want to ask you a couple of things from the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. up first is one of our favorites, Lori from Phoenix. First of all, Lori, with a good summation of what the Niners have done in the first two rounds. Getting some help for your all-pro edge rusher and your all-pro linebacker is a recipe for success. Now go get an O-lineman. That's from Lori in Phoenix. Sterling, do you agree? Should this Niner pick, or should they at least very heavily consider going offensive line here with the pick 75th overall coming up?
There's one player I think could fit them. Obviously, there's more than one, but I think if you're eyeing a player at 75, my eyes are going to be on Charles Grant of William & Mary. So, Lori, if you're one of those people who want an offensive lineman that can play tackle, can play guard in that wide zone scheme, may need some time to grow, but I think you hope in 2026 can be your right tackle. And if all things go well, maybe when Trent retires, he has the potential to be a left tackle of the future. So there is some growth that should be had there. But I do think at some point, whether it is 75 or 100, San Francisco has to find some help to protect their quarterback. You want to talk about trenches. You've gone defense twice. Don't neglect protecting who you want to be your franchise quarterback of the future, who already has three injuries under his belt through 3 years of playing so far. So I get it. I understand it. And I wouldn't be shocked to see it, because San Francisco, I do think they have some questions there almost everywhere but right guard and left tackle. So, Lori, I'm with you here. And I kind of want to see it at pick 75. Get a guy you like, get ahead of the curve, and take one of the best tackles on the board still remaining, because this tackle class is really thin. If you can get your guy, maybe it's Marcus Bowe from Purdue, but one of those two guys make a lot of sense for San Francisco.
How do you try to evaluate an offensive lineman, or I guess really anybody, but I feel like offensive line and defensive line are some of the more difficult ones to evaluate when you are coming from a small school like William & Mary? I know, like,
it's hard.
You know, the Niners obviously drafted Trey Lance from North Dakota State, and they obviously play like higher quality opponents than William & Mary. But it kind of feels like he dominated, I'm sure, every game that he played, because he was at William & Mary. He's going to be a third-round draft pick in all likelihood in the 2025 NFL draft. He's clearly a quality football player. But it kind of feels like you're taking a chance because, in my mind, Sterling, as I try to, like, watch some tape and see, you know, how does this guy stack up, and you try to differentiate between a couple of guys here and there. You threw out a couple of other offensive tackle names. It feels pretty tough, and it's kind of hard to get past the initial, well, he went to William & Mary. Of course he's going to look good. Like, how is he going to look when he gets to the NFL and he's going up against not necessarily like all pros left and right, but dudes that dominated at the collegiate level in the SEC and the Big Ten? This guy's out of William & Mary.
Everything you just said is absolutely correct. How do you project? How do you predict what they can be at the NFL level? And I think for a player like Charles Grant, you know, sitting for a year does him wonders. I think San Francisco has never minded sitting a player for a year. Nick Sakel, who obviously hasn't, you know, been a great player for them, he sat for about 2 or 3 years.
Aaron
he
Banks
scouted him for about
sat for a
6 years. Exactly. Aaron Banks, who couldn't translate to right guard with Laken Tomlinson there, sat for a year. As a second-round pick, they sat him. So.
Yeah.
If San Francisco views this as we see a star potential in Charles Grant, who's from a small school, William & Mary, and they believe they can sit him for a year behind Colton McKivitz, behind Trent Williams, you can see it happen. Or they can go with Dominic Pooney's former teammate Logan Brown from Kansas and get you some star power out there at the tackle position. So there's ways to go, but you're absolutely right, Mark. San Francisco taking a small town, small school tackle may be a massive risk. I wouldn't put it past them, though. They don't mind letting guys sit for a year or two if it means getting the best of them in year two or three.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that either. I just wish they would have done something like that last year, or maybe 2 years ago, so that the guy would be ready to play now. But now you're in a spot where maybe you draft this guy, and hey, he could be good in a year, could be good in a couple of years, but you might need help on that offensive line right now. One more pick to clean up. The New England Patriots, 69 overall, the fifth pick in the third round. They go Kyle Williams, a wide receiver. No, not that good Kyle pick. Williams. He's not draft eligible, but Kyle Williams, a wide receiver out of Washington State. goes to the New England Patriots. Of course, we all have very terrible memories when we hear the name Kyle Williams. Not that one, but he's the latest.
Yeah, Lawrence Tynes haunts me.
Yeah, Lawrence Tynes. Oh, God, that entire NFC Championship game against the Giants. Oh, God, wish I could just wipe that from my entire.
Thank you, Cam.
Yes, thank you, Cam. That's very perfect timing on that one. But Kyle Williams, wide receiver, Washington State is the pick for the New England Patriots. The Niners are just a couple of picks away as we gear up for them there. So, okay, offensive tackle is on the board. It is a possibility for the 49ers here. Maybe not necessarily 75th, but at some point here in the third round, we shall see that they might go offensive line in the 75th pick. Maybe they do it 100th overall. We shall see. One other question from the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. And certainly I'm going to have to lean on you for this one because I know you know all of these guys. The 415 asks, would love to get Xavier Watts to replace Hufanga at safety. What are your thoughts? Xavier Watts, the Notre Dame safety, 6 foot, 204 pounds. A lot of people have him as a top five safety. There's only been, what, a couple of safeties off the board so far in the draft. There have been three safeties picked, one in the first round, two in the second round, none so far here in the third round. The 415, Sterling, would love your thoughts on Xavier Watts because the Niners, they might be looking at needing another starting safety pretty darn soon. Of course, we know Hufanga is gone. Depends how you feel about Jair Brown, a draft pick a couple of years ago out of Penn State. Has played a lot so far in his first 2 years, but last year felt like this most recent season kind of took a bit of a step back, or at least did not progress the way a lot of us were expecting. You love what you saw from Malik Mustafa, the rookie, this past season. But you're going to need a second safety unless you still believe in Jair Brown. Do you think the Niners are considering using a pick this early on a safety, Sterling? And what do you think about Xavier Watts specifically?
It's tough because San Francisco also brought in Jason Pinnock from the Giants, who has incredible ball skills. He'll probably be that bigger slot corner, maybe play in the box for them as a safety. They brought in Richie Grant. They have George Odom. So as of now, they have five safeties on the roster. Jalen Mahoney's still there. They have six guys that all played last year. Most of those guys are special teams players, so there is that aspect to look at. But that said, you have a new defensive coordinator in there, and you don't know if they like Jair Brown at all. And I think they tried to keep a lot of the archetypes in place once Sulla left, and they tried. And I think Jair Brown could still be a good player for you, but I will plant my flag on the truth that this team desperately misses Jimmy Ward, a roaming free safety who may not get you picks, but is tremendous in coverage. And although Xavier Watts certainly has more flexibility, he does give you a lot of what Jimmy Ward possessed as that free safety, nickel cornerback, and also play in the slot. The notes I have here, he's 6 foot, 203 pounds, 82 tackles last year, 23 run defensive stops. That means plays of negative yards or 0 yards, so pretty good for a safety. 7 pressures, 6 interceptions, 13 picks the last 2 seasons, so incredible ball skills. May have some of the best ball skills in the entire draft. And look, it's a player that I think Sulla can use as this kind of Swiss Army knife for the defense. And I think for a playmaker on defense on the back end, it could be a good pick for them. I just don't know with the room they currently have. Do you have room for a 7th safety on the roster that Sulla may come in here and say, I like Jair Brown, so it might be a luxury pick, but if you get a player that can get you the ball back, it's never bad to have those guys on your defense.
Yeah, no doubt. I think I'm with you overall, though, and part of it is because of who is currently in the safety room, and we do appreciate the text from the 415 again on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Keep them coming as the Niners are approaching being on the clock. Saints are on the clock right now, then the Bills, then the Jets, and then the Broncos, and then the 49ers with the 75th overall pick in the 2025 NFL Draft. We will let you know exactly who it is whenever that time comes. The current safety group is part of the reason, and you mentioned it, as maybe a luxury pick. Like, you have a guy you really like, maybe you didn't think it's the biggest spot of need, but you can't quite pass him up. I don't know if the 49ers, Sterling, are in a position to be able to make a luxury pick right now. I get the idea of, like, no matter what, best player available, right? BPA, best player available. Just do that over and over and over again. You're going to hit on a bunch of them, and you're going to have a really good team because you have a lot of really good players. I understand that. But considering the holes the 49ers have, Sterling, I don't think the 49ers can just say, well, this safety or any other position is the highest rated guy that we have left on our board, but that isn't really necessarily a spot that we need. And we still need help on the offensive line. I know we've already picked two defensive linemen, one on the outside, one on the inside, but we still need more help there. You need another linebacker. Like, there's still so many other holes on this team right now. They're going to pick a running back at some point. They probably are going to pick a wide receiver at some point. Like, we will see, but I just don't know if we're at a point where the 49ers can use a pick this early in the draft still. Where, by the way, they've had a ton of success in the third round. I don't know if the safety position is one that is that big of a need that they're going to look to address that yet so far here in the third round.
Yeah, I kind of view safety as the linebacker position, although you need a linebacker anyways. I don't know if you need one guy in the third round. I mentioned Chris Paul Jr. last night. I can see him going here in round three from Ole Miss. But that said, though, you have a guy in D. Winters you like. You have a guy in Jair Brown you like enough. Now, is that enough to move off those players if somebody you like's on the board? Maybe. But I think you're right, Mark. You know, the Niners have too many needs at too many positions, mainly on the defensive line. Maybe a cornerback, but even then, even cornerback, like secondary feels like it's kind of done to me. You brought in Trey Brown, who's had an up and down career with Seattle, but is kind of going to be that cornerback three. You have Darrell Luter Jr., who they're still high on here. I think you're eyeing a cornerback probably in round five. Kobe Bryant from Kansas. Maybe you get overzealous and get Jacob Parrish from Kansas State. But I think you're right. Offensive line, defensive line. This team needs so much work on the trenches as you watch Vernon Broughton go to the Saints and Landon Jackson now goes to the Bills from Arkansas. So two big hitters off the board for you on the defensive line. San Francisco may sit back and say, hey, let's not miss the next one at 75 and just two picks. So every pick I get nervous, Mark, of like, what are they going to do? Don't mess this up, please. And so I'm going to be sitting here on the edge of my seat saying, don't mess this up. Don't mess this up. Don't mess this up when San Francisco's pick comes in at 75.
You think they're looking at this run on a couple of defensive linemen just recently, and you're thinking they got to swoop in and take another? You think that's on their mind here?
Well, my concern is both of the defensive linemen they took, albeit good players, are run defenders primarily. You got to get an interior pass rusher. Vernon Broughton just went. Omar Norman Lott went to Kansas City. So there are less prospects on that board you like. Maybe you go Jordan Birch from Oregon, who is kind of the tweener guy, can play inside, outside. Go Ducks. maybe you talk about Aeneas Peebles, Virginia Tech, is that pass rusher. A Joshua Farmer. So there is some players there, but the longer you wait, the less players you have to choose from, and you've seen two big ones off the board here in the last two picks. So for San Francisco, do you want the draft to dictate what you do, or do you want to dictate the draft? And so far, I think they've gotten the two players they've loved in round ones and two. But round three, this is where the good players dwindle down to the okay, the rotational guys, and you don't want to miss on one of those last good day one starters here at pick 75.
Yeah, and the run on defensive tackles or defensive linemen has ended, at least for the moment. The Jets pick a corner out of Florida State. I don't know if you know how to pronounce the first name, Stanley. Thomas is the last name.
That is Azarie Thomas.
Azarie.
From Florida State.
Okay.
Yes.
Azarie Thomas, corner out of Florida State, is the pick to the New York Jets, 73 overall. So it's just the Denver Broncos who are on the clock now, and then the San Francisco 49ers. So offensive line is a possibility. Defensive line, specifically maybe edge rusher, a possibility, or maybe a guy in the interior that you view a little bit more as a pass rusher. We've got a couple of texts that are looking at, safety or somewhere else, linebacker potentially. I would guess, Sterling, that is going to be either offensive line or defensive line. It's going to be one of those two spots. I think you're spot on as well. Maybe the 49ers are going to triple down on the D-line in their first three picks. If it's not D-line, I think it's got to be offensive line. I think the 49ers are just going to be dead set on like making 8 of their 11 picks this draft in the trenches on either side of the football. It's feeling like it's headed that direction.
Well, we have a tweet from Niners CEO Jed York.
Another one. He's been tweeting all day.
he has been busy on the X and Twitter throughout the draft. And before every selection, he puts one out. And this one says, let's put this pick in, hashtag conviction. That to me says trenches again. Go defensive line. We got to get some dogs on the interior. So I'm hoping I'm reading Jed's tweet correctly, because there's a need there. And it feels like they want to give Sala every single pick he possibly can have in this year's draft.
Well, okay, so it's interesting because 2 hours ago, before the 49ers made their pick in the second round, he tweeted so many choices. Wonder what we are going to do here, hashtag trenches. Then the tweet that you just mentioned, let's put this pick in, not hashtag trenches, but hashtag conviction. And then just a few seconds after that one, he tweeted, big hitter welcome. So that, you're right, this feels like it's going to be a defensive lineman again, Sterling.
But then I'm like, Chris Paul Jr., linebacker, comes down out of the box. He's a heavy hitter.
Or maybe a safety coming down.
Replacement. Jed, you got me hyped. What are you doing, brother?
What are they going to do? We got a couple of picks until the 49ers make their selection. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we will have the 49ers pick here in the third round. We're looking forward to it. The Niners are not on the clock just yet. It is currently the Denver Broncos. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll find out who the Niners are picking in the third round. Time for a break. It's Sterling and Grandy with you. Draft night continues. Draft night two continues. We're back with more next right here on 95.7 The Game.